life-changing experience. Are you ready to renew your mind?
Welcome to a life-changing experience with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, the pastor of Life-Changing Church Ministries in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This broadcast is designed to renew minds and change lives through the Word of God. So let us join Overseer McGuire as she delivers us a transforming message.
Are you ready for a life-changing experience? Are you ready to renew your mind?
Amen. Would you get your Bibles and would you turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 17th verse. And I'm going to start reading at the 32nd verse. Amen. Amen. That 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and the 32nd, 3-2 verse. Amen. Does everyone have your sword with you? Whether you have it in book form or do you have it on phone, either way, you ought to have that. Never come without your sword, especially when you want to defeat a giant. Amen. You got to have that sword in the house. Ought to be a couple of them in the car. Ought to have one at your desk at work. Amen. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Praise God. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Amen. Tell somebody next to you, go and kill that Philistine. You better tell him again. I felt that right there myself. Tell him again, go and defeat that Philistine. Hallelujah. Tell him the Lord be with you. And if he's with you, who can be against you? You all better get happy about the word of God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Ah, that showed that you ought to think about that all 2014. That if God is for me, I don't know who can be against me. It don't matter who is against me. When God is for me, it don't matter to me who is against me. Amen. Amen. I thank God to that. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thank him tonight for this opportunity to stand on another day before another day. Yeah. Hallelujah. The ending of a day to begin another day of grace and mercy. I thank him for all of you tonight. I thank him for Elder Harrison, the sister pastor of this church. Amen. Thank God for her husband, Deacon Harrison. I thank God for every minister, every officer that's here tonight. I thank God even for the ones that are not. Amen. Hallelujah. I praise God tonight, especially for my husband. Amen. Dr. Major McGuire. Amen. I thank God for my daughter that's in the back, Mariah McGuire. So I just thank God for all that he has done in my life this year. Amen. Thank him for you all. You're wonderful. And I couldn't have a better flock. And I'm so proud of you tonight. Amen. Amen. I would like to go to the throne before we get into the message tonight. Father, I bless you. Lord, I thank you so much for everything that you've done, everything that you haven't even manifested yet. I thank you in advance for that. Lord, I thank you for those who have come out tonight. Thank you for traveling mercy. Even thank you, God, for traveling mercy as they return to their destinations. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless this word tonight. Pray, God, that as we leave here, that we will understand what it means to slay giants. We thank you, God, that you are with us in this battle. We ask that you would bless the word tonight for every hearer. Help us to be doers of your word and not just a hearer. We bless your name tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Certainly tonight I want to talk to you from the subject, Your Giant Has Fallen. And when we talk about giants falling, you got to believe. You got to believe that the giant has fallen. One of the things is about the giant, the devil. He knows when you don't mean what you say. He knows that you're just talking to hear yourself talk. But when you can say that thing with confidence and mean it, he must back up. Amen? But giants do exist. They do. They exist. But they're not always big in stature. In the Old Testament times, giants exist right now in 2013. Mm-hmm. Actually, they're small sometimes, but they're able to defeat us. Every giant is not big in stature. Anything or circumstance that we feel we can't overcome is a giant. A tiny little blood clot that is trapped and clogged in an artery can only be seen via a scan or MRI. But that tiny clot becomes a giant if not defeated and aggressively confronted. And so it's a war with the enemy. It doesn't have to be big. Tell somebody it don't have to be big. But if it causes you havoc, it becomes a giant. We get in war with giants, but we do not win wars by running away. We win wars by confrontation. You can't be scared of it. You got to confront it. That's why some of us never get anywhere, because we're constantly running away from situations instead of standing there and confronting the situation. It might not always feel good, but you must confront something that's always bullying you. If we don't challenge a bully, he or she will always taunt and pick on you. And so the person doing the bullying sees a refugee and not a warrior. They see a refugee who's running away from a war, running away from a spiritual battle or religious persecution. That's what refugees do. We don't feel worship or praise. We run away by not participating. When you come into church sometimes, you don't feel like you want to participate in the praise and the worship. You just feel like, I just don't feel this today. But that's the enemy. That's the giant that have sat on your spirit. But if you confront that giant and let him know that God's been too good to me, I'm going to push my way through this. And I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to praise him in spite of what I feel. Tell somebody it's not how I feel, but it's what God has done that he deserves a praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't run away from it. The enemy, he's not going to allow you to get in the presence of worship and praise, because God's going to get the glory. The giant has intercepted your desire to give God glory. Tell your neighbor, wow. That's something when he intercepts your praise. That's something when the giant intercepts your worship. When you don't have worship, you can't have anything. Life changing church, we are not refugees. Come on, tell your neighbor, we're not refugees. We are not running away from things. We've had many to flee battle in the church, but the church is a house of favor. Life changing church, this is a church of favor. The church is designed to teach soldiers to fight. When you come in here, you ought to learn how to fight in a spiritual warfare. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it even gives us the armor that we should use in battle. Some of us don't even want to read about it and put the armor on. But he's already told us what we need to do for spiritual warfare. There's no getting around spiritual warfare. So who or what is this giant in our lives that causes us problems? It might be sexual immorality. It might be idolatry. It might be fear. It might be doubt. It might be alcohol, illicit drugs, or better yet, it may be you. Look at your neighbor. You ain't got to be scared of them. And ask them, is it you? Is your giant you? Or even ask yourself, is it me? Am I the one that's causing havoc in my own life? Oh, come on, come on, you better. You can't get help with something you won't admit. It's hard to accept the fact that it's me. But there was a song that said, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Baby, you better let the Lord know that it's you. Hallelujah. Baby, when you got a problem, you better talk to God about it. You better tell him. So there was going on inside of us. Paul recognized this, and he says in Romans, the 7th chapter, the 14th through the 15th verse, he said, if this isn't confusing, open up your Bibles and read it. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And he goes on down to the 17th verse, and he says, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh he's talking about, y'all, who do it. He says, nothing good dwells, for two will is present with me. But to perform what is good, I do not find. Boy, does that sound confusing. Could that definitely be a war in you? What I want to do good, here comes evil. And I really do want to do the right thing, but I find myself doing the wrong thing. And why do I find myself doing this? I find myself doing it because of my flesh. And you must die, flesh. Daily you must have a funeral. Every day you must die. And so the enemy is laughing at us. They're laughing at the church. He's hilarious. He gets so tickled at the church. Why? Because instead of battling with him, we're battling with each other. He is emphatically saying that there is no God in the church. And why does the enemy say that? Because he knows God's character. The enemy knows who God is. The enemy knows the kind of God that we say we serve. He knows that God is loyal. He knows that God is committed. He knows that God is honest and kind. But when he looks at the people of God, he does not see loyalty. He does not see commitment. So the devil says, you don't have anything. You are a good playing ground. What he sees in some Christians, it just ain't God. Tell somebody, that ain't God. I look at some people sometimes and I say, that ain't God. Amen. And so my life, I live it so that you can see God in me. Hallelujah. So where is our worship? We must be worshipers to fight in a spiritual battle. When David went out to fight Goliath, he went out already labeled a warrior. While he spent days and nights watching the sheep, David had plenty of time to worship. We come to church and there's nothing going on. We don't even begin to pray or pick up the Bible. We just sit around and talk. But when David was out there in the field with the sheep, he was a worshiper. He had plenty of time, so he did that. Become a worshiping warrior. I'm sure that David praised God at times, but one thing about praise, it's easier than worshiping. Praise is easy because it's easy to open up your mouth and thank God for what he's already done. Thanking him for my car, for my house, for my health, for my job. That's easy to say, Lord, I thank you. The problem is when you want to worship him, because now you don't see what he's done. You are anticipating or expecting God to move, but you haven't seen it yet. But can you worship him when you have not seen it? Hallelujah. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Even the trees praise him. Ah, they put their arms up. Even they have their head up toward heaven. Even the grass stands up and they praise him. But what about us? We got to be pumped and primed to say praise him. If I don't say praise him, nobody will open up their mouth. But just the name of Jesus, somebody's mouth ought to go wide open just because he is God. Just the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to know that God is able. So let me move on. The worship makes us confident. It increases our faith and trust in God. David was confident because he had seen how God made him a warrior time and time again. In the scripture, he talks about how killing bears and lions, he said, God was able. He made me able to do that. And I know if he did it once, he'll do it again. The worship makes us more confident and it increases our faith and trust in God. So David was confident because he had seen how God had worked time and time again. I want to give you some quick points and I'm moving on how to kill your giant. That is really why you came, right? Because you really want to know how to kill him, right? You really want to know, how am I going to get this joker out of my... Number one, first, never go to battle without a plan, a strategy. Because the giant has a plan for you. And so you must have a plan for him. Because his plan is to keep you in bondage. His plan is to keep a frown on your face. His plan is to always keep you looking down on yourself. So, he wants to keep you in a broken place. But listen to this. Don't despise your broken place. Because when God is ready to release us, he sometimes may break us. He getting ready to release you right now. You're feeling down in the dumps and feeling broken, but God is getting ready to open some doors for you. Hallelujah. Don't despise your broken place. You got to understand that you must fight to survive. Your brokenness is where the anointing is. Did you hear what I said tonight? Your brokenness is where the anointing is. Some of us can't get the anointing until we have been broken. So, how can I get around this uncircumcised giant? That was David's question. This uncircumcised giant. David asked the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David's getting mad now because now he's talking about a covenant. Now he's talking about how dare this Philistine taunt and bully God's children. You're not just messing with anybody, but you now messing with God's children. And that's what we have to say to ourselves. Who is this uncircumcised giant messing with me? Do they know who my daddy is? Do they know who my DNA came from? Oh, no, because my God promised me that he would never leave or forsake me. He must be out of his mind. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's going to mess with me? Oh, I felt that right there. Who does he think he is to bully me? Hallelujah. David uses what he knows. The children of God, he says, they have no business trembling at this uncircumcised person. He doesn't even have a covenant with my God. Hallelujah. So here David, he uses what he knows. He refuses to wear apparel that does not fit. King Saul offers him his armor to go out and fight this Philistine. But David could not use it because it didn't fit. That's why some of y'all need to let some stuff alone. You're still trying to hang out with folk that don't fit. You're still trying to go places that it don't fit. But that's why the enemy keeps you in bondage, because you're still trying to do stuff and it doesn't fit you anymore. So here David, he says, I'm not going to use this because it don't fit me. I don't know this. I got to use what I know. You got to use what you know. If you know the word of God, use the word of God. Don't mess with stuff that you don't know. Hallelujah. So here, David says, if I put on your stuff, I'm going to lose my character. I won't be little David no more. If I put on your stuff, I'm going to lose my balance. The Bible said that he couldn't even stand up in it. He was moving back and forth in it. So when you're getting ready to fight the giant, make sure you're comfortable with what you use. Don't try to use what somebody else used, because it might not work for you. You got to use what you feel. Use the word of God to fight your battles. Not cursing and negative language. You are a Christian. Amen. Number two, choose your weapon carefully. David chose five smooth stones and a slingshot. It was simple, but it was effective. Tell somebody, you don't always have to have a big gun. The little guns work sometimes a lot better than your big guns. He had 5 smooth stones and a slingshot. With one stone, tell somebody one stone, he hit the giant where it matters and kills him right in the forehead. When you aim, you better aim for the right place. See, not every giant, you can kill him in the same place. You got to find out what's going to kill that giant. Remember, one stone may not work for your giant, because I don't know what your giant is. However, when at first you don't succeed, try again. David had put 5 stones in his pocket. And I was talking to my husband, and I said, honey, I said, you know, David had 5 stones there. I said, but he had enough faith in God to know that one stone was going to do the job. My husband said, well, you know why. So let me tell you why. He had the other 4 waiting for the brothers to come. He says, baby, he said, you better know that when you choose your weapon, And take something extra, because sometimes the devil got imps with him. You might try to hit the devil one place, and if you don't kill him, his little imps gonna come too. So you better have something to shoot them too. Don't you think the devil comes by himself? He comes with imps. He comes with people that's gonna make you feel defeated. Remember, always choose your weapon carefully. You have to know the giant. Don't act like your giant does not exist. Admit you have a giant. You can't act like he doesn't exist. David was certain when he went out there. He was confident. You can't go out there fighting your giant scared, because he knows when you're scared. That's where your trust level with God comes in.
Kingdom greetings, saints. This is Overseer Dorothy McGuire, Senior Pastor of Life Changing Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to personally thank you for tuning into the broadcast every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. and online every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. on praise100.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you and you would like to purchase a copy of this sermon in its entirety or seed into this radio ministry, please send your request and or donation to Life Changing Church Radio Ministry, 3208 Riley Avenue, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269. And if you are new to the city and looking for a life-changing experience, we invite you to visit with us for our 9:30 Sunday school and our 11 a.m. worship service, and on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our dynamic Bible study. So until the next time, be blessed, and again, thank you for listening.
Praise listeners, now you can listen to the Word by going to www.praisecharlotte.com and clicking on the podcast tab on your desktop computer, laptop, tablet, or smartphone, where you'll find 5 dynamic 30-minute programs designed to inspire, motivate, and entertain you. PraiseCharlotte.com 24/7, 365. With the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker of Little Rock AME Zion Church, the Glory Has Come International Ministry broadcast with Pastor Troy and Prophetess Nicole King, the Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Pastor Matthew L. Browning, the Life Changing Church broadcast with Overseer Dorothy McGuire, and Motivations with Gloria. We know you love the music we play. However, there are times when the word from a preacher or someone's testimony will get you through. through the day. So please log on to PrayCharlotte.com and click the podcast tab.